It's a really exciting national program, and I want to start off by talking about the history of the MRC program, because some people may not know about it, but it started back in 2002 after the 9/11 attacks and the anthrax letters. And so the big push there was a couple things going on at the time. One of those is spontaneous unaffiliated volunteers, SUVs. After the 9/11 attacks and after any disaster, you see people coming up wanting to help out, and that's a good problem to have.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is trying to credential those people, see what they can and can't do. For example, you have a lot of nurses, doctors showing up, and if someone says they're a doctor and you put them to treat patients, and it turns out they're actually a nurse, they can't diagnose, right? Or maybe they are a doctor, but they're from another country. They're not licensed to treat in the U.S. That's a major issue.
Good intentions. You want to have good intentions, but you have to be able to be what you say.
Yeah, and that's right. And so the MRC kind of started as a way to find a way to solve that, right? So have a group of people who are already signed up, already credentialed. We know who they are, where they're coming from. That way, in an emergency, we know who to call right away. And another thing is those anthrax letters. So a big concern at the time was bioterrorism, and for good reason. It was a big concern with anthrax, mm-hmm. because it could be a weaponized virus, a bacteria that could be sent out into a wide population, and you need a lot of people to respond to something of that size, right? And so getting a pool of volunteers ready to call, ready and prepared is a very, very great thing to have. And we've kind of moved away from some of that bioterrorism. Now, it's something we do still talk about, we do prepare, but learning that any emergency will impact public health, that it's going to impact our healthcare services, and we need to have a group of people who are ready to go, fill in those empty gaps, and get us a good response to making sure people stay safe and healthy.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been around for it's been around in the Medical Reserve Corps has had an impact.
Yeah, no,
on healthcare,
right,
in this area.
Yes, yes, definitely. So the Rappahannock MRC, which covers the city of Fredericksburg, Stafford, Spotsylvania, King George, and Caroline counties, started back in 2003. And so now the first units, there was 42 units that started in 2002. So if you think about that, we started relatively early. And so now we're at well over 20 years now going into this. And really all the MRC units in Virginia have done a lot of great work. Our unit has responded, the big one's COVID, but also even well before that, H1N1, mm-hmm. Zika virus, and then preparing for all sorts of emergencies. You'll often see MRC volunteers also responding to things that you don't think health right away. For example, like hurricane response in other parts of the state,
yeah.
You'll see MRC volunteers respond to those kinds of incidents as well.
So what are some of the needs right now?
Some of the needs right now, the big thing is staying prepared, right? You can have all these people signed up, but if an emergency comes up and they don't know what to do, right, you're kind of scrambling to get them trained. So you got to keep them prepared well in advance, and that's cycling through a variety of different trainings. The big ones, CPR training, mental health preparedness, first aid, shelter training, all that kind of stuff. So it's cycling through those to keep them ready. And then also trying to recruit more volunteers because, eventually people will kind of lose interest or, they'll move away. And so you want to get a new pool of volunteers who are always ready to respond.
So is training offered every so often or frequently so you are able to, stay ramped up?
Yeah, of course. So we do monthly trainings that are coordinated by the state. And so those are typically online trainings and the topics cycle through. But also there are in-person opportunities here locally that do come up. I know a lot of volunteers are always excited to get CPR training because it comes at low or no cost, right? That's a big thing. That's one of the things the volunteers look forward to. Another thing is exercises. Now, exercises are really, really exciting. So localities need to prepare for all sorts of emergencies, but those emergencies don't happen very often, so they got to simulate that. They got to simulate, okay, how are we going to open up a shelter? Or how are we going to respond to an active attacker situation? And they need people to practice or just be role players, right? Pretend to be those survivors. And a lot of volunteers get that opportunity several times a year to either practice their response or, role play being a survivor. And that can be really exciting to see the way the localities respond, but also you get an opportunity to meet other folks, meet other volunteers, meet emergency managers, emergency responders, and it can be a really exciting opportunity.
You would do flu shots and you'd go like to Stafford Airport and you would test you would drive up. That's where I got a flu shot one time. But it was a test, you know, to see how many could be administered in a certain amount of time.
Yeah, and looking back to kind of that bioterrorism that we talked about, it's a big initiative that came by, you know, a good 20 years ago, is having to vaccinate or provide medications to a wide population after an emergency. And so, yeah, those tests do still occur. We practice our ability to be able to provide prophylaxis by practicing doing, you know, a flu shot event, vaccinations, testing outside of the clinic, you know, in case we do need to do that in an emergency. And so volunteers can be involved with that as well. You know, it can be medical volunteers actually helping out and doing the shots, or it can be general volunteers. You know, we need people to do the traffic flow, you know, to register patients, to screen them. So we take all sorts of different backgrounds in our MRC.
I was just going to ask you about that, because it sounds like you could be at any level. You might not even, you may want to just learn CPR and want to be able to help in situations, or you may have a medical background, and boy, it would, you can use all types.
Yeah, so the way our MRC is made up of, it's about 50% come with a medical background and 50% are general. And now general does not mean inexperienced, right? They come from all sorts of backgrounds.
Yeah.
We've got students learning a wide variety of different, you know, they're studying a lot of different program areas. We've got teachers, all sorts of folks that come out and help. So anybody above the age of 16 in the Rappahannock MRC is welcome to join. And they all come with, you know, different ideas, different reasons as to why they're joining. They want to get more experience. Maybe they're retired and they want to put some of the stuff they've learned to good use. All sorts of different reasons.
Well, and to have a strong MRC just makes the community stronger.
Yeah, it makes us feel better prepared, you know, and a lot of volunteers, they find, you know, lifelong friends in the program because you're meeting different people, but, you know, they can come from similar backgrounds, maybe the same training, but you're all coming together to support the same mission, which is a really big thing. And I know during the COVID pandemic, that's where a lot of volunteers were getting the ability to meet new people, to make new connections, which is, I think, something a lot of people needed at the time.
And this is the kind of thing that's ongoing. I mean, you continue to, and like you say, some people will come on, some will go off, but it's you can't train everybody right when a situation occurs.
Yeah, no, that's right. We got to have them in mind in the roster well ahead of time. Here in the state, the MRC units fall under the local health districts, and I know in other states it may be different, but there are MRC units that cover, you know, every inch of Virginia. So even if, you know, you live outside the Rappahannock area, there are other MRC units that do the same great work all across the state.
Oh, okay. Well, this is right up your alley. This is. I mean, I'm sure this is exciting for you to be able to build something like this and to look at the team that you have and identify, you know, where you need some more people with certain specialties or skills.
Yeah, no, that's right. And another great thing about the MRC is we want to keep them active, want to make sure they know who they're going to be working with. And so in addition to responding and preparing for public health emergencies, because we fall under the health district, it allows volunteers to get some experience in the clinics, in the different service areas that we provide. And that's a really big thing for students. I've seen a lot of students or young adults applying to be MRC volunteers, and a lot of them just want to get some experience, you know, in the public health sphere. And I definitely support that. You know, I love building personalized experiences for volunteers, for them to get the experience that they're looking for. And so it may not be, they may not be joining because they're thinking public health emergencies, right? They could be just wanting to get their foot in the door on public health. And that's something I definitely advocate for as well.